So it's the eighth day, the last day of this eight-day retreat. So may you be intent on another day of practice. And it's possible that in this day you gain an understanding into the Dhamma. And so whether you are at home or staying at the monastery, then if things are set out in a convenient way for us to be able to practice the Dhamma. But for those at home, you could be resting, could still be asleep at ease, but instead you've come to join this course, to study, to increase your knowledge, increase your wisdom. Because we need to prepare ourselves and prepare our mindfulness for anything which could arise, that we will be able to solve those problems with mindfulness. And so in this world, there are things that are here, there are things that come up through nature, or there are things that humans create. And they change following causes and conditions. And it's possible for them to disappear, possible for them to just break apart. So like high-rise buildings, for example, that really they are decaying with each moment. It's just that we don't see that. And we only see it when they fall apart. But everything that is created, it has its expiry date and the time that it needs to fall apart. And so may we all study in order to give rise to wisdom. So the Dhamma that we come to study, what this is truth in line with nature that already exists this way. So the Buddha said that whether a Buddha comes to be enlightened or not, the Dhamma Dhatu, this Dhamma element, it's like this already. It already exists in this way. And so there are causes and conditions that bring things into being. So for example, with ignorance, then this becomes the cause for conditions to arise. And then this flows onwards with sankharas as a condition, and there's nama rupa, there's physicality and mentality. And this thing goes on to contact and feeling, and then on to craving, clinging, becoming, birth, and then to suffering. And so nature, it's already this way. Things are like this. And whoever understands this, whoever contemplates this and gains knowledge, gains the same knowledge that the Buddha gained. So the great teachers have said that it's like the various knowledges of this world. So if someone comes to study the subject, the knowledge of medicine or of engineering or of accounting, and then when they've completed their studies, they become a doctor or an engineer or an accountant. Even though the person who originally devised that subject has passed away already. But the path to gaining that knowledge still exists. And therefore, it's still possible for people in this day and age to study it and to gain that knowing. So just like how we are becoming aware or know about this path of sila, samadhi, and panya. And then when we practice this and we gain knowledge, that knowledge appears within the heart. And this is buddha, So this nature of awakening. And Venerable Ajahn Chah once asked, was it not possible for the Buddha to be born in Thailand? And the understanding that I had was that the Buddha was born in India, but that's the Sammasambuddha. And when he was sitting under the Bodhi tree, that knowledge arose within his own heart. The thing is, even though he was sitting under that tree in Bodh Gaya, the awakening happened in his heart. And so if we walk following the path that the Buddha had taught, then we gain this knowledge of truth. And we, in turn, realize Buddha, this nature of awakening, that we become Savaka Buddhas, so these disciple Buddhas, because we've listened to the teachings and then we practice following in line with that until this knowledge into truth arises. And that knowing which is able to extract the wrong views that are so deeply ingrained within our hearts. These views of self, of me and my possessions. But it requires a fair amount of effort to do this. We need to put in our energy to be seeking out knowledge into causes and results, have a mind which is inclined and engaged in the Dhamma, and to be contemplating so that knowledge arises. Contemplating so that we understand the nature of conditioned phenomena and we don't have any doubts about that anymore. So some Dhamma practitioners really like thinking. Their minds habitually think a lot. And if they try sitting in meditation, bringing the mind to stillness just with the breath, the mind stays scattered. Because this thinking is something that they've trained themselves to do for a long time. They've been deep thinkers or perhaps writers using their thoughts for a long time. And so one day they decide to start meditating, to sit down, bring the mind to stillness, but it's just not still. Because we've been thinking so much before this. So therefore, this use of our thoughts to contemplate and to bring the mind to a place of peace is one means that we can use. So maybe when we sit down to meditate, and before we start looking at the breath, we can spread a heart of loving kindness. Actually, first, before that, we can recollect the great qualities of the Buddha and the Dhamma and the Sangha, and then spread out this heart of kindness towards ourselves and towards all beings, that may all beings find happiness, may all beings be freed from all suffering, may we not harm one another, may we not do anything to make our situations worse. And then we sit in meditation, or we walk meditation, we stand meditation. Really, when we say to sit in meditation, we say that because usually the sitting posture is the main posture. But for those who like to walk, you can walk in meditation as well. And while you're walking, to be thinking, to be contemplating into causes and conditions. And this nature of the self that we feel exists. So to reflect upon that, is it real? Is this actually something genuine? This me, this mine? That we contemplate it and we separate out that which we take to be me. And so this body, we tear it apart into its different elements. And so the earth, and then the water, the fire, the air. We contemplate each of those, so that which is hard, we take to be the earth element. And that which is liquid is the water element. the heat and the body is the fire. And then there's the air, so this breath that comes in and leaves. And also the various empty spaces in the body, in the organs, the spaces within those that they have this air element. So when these elements gather together and combine, they create a strong body. But if the state changes, so if externally, for example, the weather gets too hot, gets too cold, it's too damp, then these conditions, they undergo change. So we can contemplate how it's something which is always changing like this, and really is changing with each in-breath and each out-breath. But usually we don't see that change. However, it is occurring. And if that change happens to a significant degree, then the breath stops flowing, and then death occurs. And then we see the true unchanging nature of the body. So as the monks chant, Anicca Vatisankhara, and so these conditioned things are inconstant, impermanent. And usually they chant that upon someone's death. But really, for those who have wisdom, you can see right here in the present moment, it's arising and ceasing, like the breath arising, staying for a bit, and then ceasing. So what that shows is that these conditioned bodies of humans are dependent upon just this breath. And after not a long time, then the body fades. But it's because of this continuation that we don't perceive its inconstant nature. And due to the continuation of the breath, like how with the in-breath, it continues with an out-breath. That out-breath then continues with a new in-breath. And so it has this continuation like this. But in truth, it is deteriorating with each in-breath and each out-breath. The breath comes in, the breath goes out. And what that shows us is that we have one less breath for this life. So in each day, you can see within each minute, within each hour, within each day, how many breaths do we take? And therefore, how many do we have left? And so the breaths that we have left get less and less with each passing day. So we should contemplate in this way, in order to bring the mind to a state of ease and stillness, and so that we can genuinely see this jnana, this true knowledge, appears, see into the arising and ceasing of sankhara's conditions. And if we see this clearly, then we see into the truth. So when this genuine knowledge appears, then our efforts become stronger because we've seen the results of our effort. We contemplate seeing into cause and effect, and we get this enthusiasm for our practice, such that we don't have to force ourselves to walk or sit in meditation. And why? Because the mind is at peace. We have rapture nourishing the heart. And then we can contemplate things outside of us, for example, material things. So like this Dhamma hall, or various cars and houses that we live in. And see how they're just a gathering of elements. And they deteriorate according to time and according to their causes and conditions. And so if there's something, event that appears, so maybe there's a fire, a strong wind that blows, or an earthquake, a flood, then it can suddenly destroy these material things. And we see that nature of deterioration happening very quickly through these disasters. And everything in the world is subject to disaster. It's subject to external damage. These may be natural disasters, or there may be ones of war, etc. But they have these dangers for them. And so that's the nature of external wealth. But for internal wealth, this noble wealth, that's what we create through our generosity, our virtue, and our meditation. There's nothing in the world that's able to destroy that. So for all of us now, we're seeking out this noble wealth. And so like if someone is going through difficulty, then we help them out. And because of the kindness and the compassion that we have, if people are in hardship, then we lend them a helping hand. And through this, we're cultivating these qualities of loving kindness and compassion. When we have that kindness and compassion, we also contemplate separating out the elements outside of us, these internal elements. And then when we do that, we bring that back to ourselves and see how our own lives are not sure. And where is it that people are going to die? We just don't know. We may come up with ideas that we're going to die due to this or that. So like an earthquake happens and someone quickly runs down the stairs, but due to the fear that they have, they go too fast and they get a heart attack. And so it's really not sure. So we need then to establish our mindfulness well because things are not sure. And we really don't know where death is going to happen, how death is going to happen for us. We don't know. And the world is dark, and those who see clearly are few. So there was a young girl at the time of the Buddha. She was a Sotapanna, a stream enterer. And even for her, her life was really not sure. And she went to take some water to her father, who was weaving some cloth. And as he was weaving, he was drowsy and falling asleep. And when this girl suddenly came in, he got a fright. And the shuttle flew off the loom and hit the girl, and she died. But she was a Sotapanna already, so she went to a place of happiness. And she had no more than 7 lives left. But her father was deeply distressed because he thought that my own daughter died due to what I had done. So he went to see the Buddha, and the Buddha got him to contemplate into how things are really not sure like this. And he could attain to anagami, to a non-returner. So due to that teaching of the Buddha, he was able to change over, to flip over the suffering, this grief that he experienced, and change that into wisdom. Because the nature of sankharas, it's like this, they decay like this. But really, they're always decaying. But even though that's the case, we shouldn't let our hearts decay. And that's something that's really important. And that's why we come to practice. To develop this noble inner wealth through our generosity, through our virtue, through our meditation. To gain knowledge, to be studying, to be investigating, so that wisdom arises. Into this body, for example, being a collection of earth, water, fire, and air, seeing how that creates a body and how these things are always falling apart, deteriorating. That the earth goes back to earth, the water to water, the air to air, and the fire to the fire. And there's no me within any of that. Where could I find a self in that? We can take out the parts of this body in our mind's eye and put all the teeth into a pile, all the hair into another pile, the bones into another pile. And these are all earth element. And then we put the blood into one pile, one kind of puddle, and the saliva, another puddle, urine, another puddle. And we contemplate like this and separate the elements out in this way. And the heart begins then to settle, to calm, to enter into samadhi. And we know that, okay, samadhi has arisen, the mind has gathered together, it's in this state of stillness like this. And when it's in this state of stillness, we can know into this nature of not-self, we can destroy the sense of self. And so we come to contemplate in our meditation. As we contemplate the nature of the body, we can feel this deep sense of dispassion and dismay. And the heart then becomes very contented and full. If we see the body as being unattractive, the heart turns beautiful. And it can turn bright, radiant, for an entire day and night. We contemplate the body being just a collection of elements. The mind gathers together into samadhi. And then we see this peaceful heart, the mind that's in samadhi. We use that to contemplate, and we can do that well with the mind in that state. And so then with that power of collectedness, you look into the body, seeing how the earth element decays, breaks apart, and the mind gathers together again. And then as it comes out of that state, then we contemplate again. And this can happen, say, for 6 months even. And this is how it was for me. And the mind felt really bright. And it was just like I'd seen Nibbana. And this is the Gotarapu Jitta. So the mind that's changing lineage, and the Gotarapu Jnana, this knowledge of that leads to a change of lineage. And seeing these four elements, and seeing them for as they really are, seeing the body as being empty. But then this thought comes up, well, since I've seen this already, why doesn't the mind just go and stay there? And this is how it is for people who are at this level of Gotarapu Jnana. That the mind knows the state of Nibbana, but it's not yet able to just stay there. Because the barami is not yet full. There are still attachments. There's still clinging to this body. And so therefore we need to separate out these elements once more. And to see into the nature of not-self within that once more. And see how this is something which is always falling apart, always deteriorating. So when the mind is in a strong state of samadhi, we can bring up these mental images and to see visions of that, of this deterioration, of the earth disintegrating. These nimittas can arise of this dissolving, this disintegration. And we're able to put down attachments to all of that. And emptiness arises. We see into a profound state of Dhamma at that point. And as we do this more and more frequently, one day the mind really comes into a state of peace and stillness. And all that it takes is just to see a strand of hair fall, or to have a vision of a flake of skin on the lip fall. And it doesn't even have the time to hit the ground. It's still floating in the air. And you gain this knowledge into not self. and see the Dhamma to this degree, to a degree where there's only one life left. And how does this happen? Well, it's from the Bharami that we create, these spiritual virtues, just like how we're all practicing here. Knowing that Sotapanna, stream entry, it's this way. It's this path of generosity, of chanting, of meditating, that we all do. The ways that we give, the ways that we create our virtue, that we keep our precepts, that we develop our mindfulness so that it's something constant. It's normal to have doubts, but these are things that we're able to abandon. When we bring the mind to a state where it's not given to liking and disliking, that this is the path to seeing and knowing for sure. And so we should have that faith and that belief in this. And each day we engage in this, trying to bring the mind to stillness, because we want to know and to see Nibbana. And Ajahn Chah, he already told us the way to get there, that it's not allowing the mind to go into liking or disliking. And pick this up, use this. If the mind is in a state of liking, what that shows is that it's already clinging. If it's in a state of disliking, what that shows is that it's already attached. And these two ways are Kama Sukhalikana Yoga and Atta Kilamatana Yoga. So as we know and we contemplate, then we begin to let go and we bring the mind back into a centered place. So for example, we pick up the practice of metta, this loving kindness, and this is a way of fixing anger. If the mind is delighting in forms, then we contemplate the nature of forms, how they're unattractive things, and so that the mind doesn't cling to any perceived beauty with regards to those forms. So we can use that to let go of our attachment to the material things of this world, whether they're natural things, whether they're things that humans create, seeing into their changing nature, asking ourselves, what is there to attach to, that all of this is not sure. There was one time that I went to Australia and we visited this small village in this valley. And I thought to myself just how beautiful this place is. But it was also really not sure, because not long after that, there was a fire that passed through and destroyed that village. But I could see this is not sure. Things are really unstable in this way. That these kinds of events do occur, that they're possible. When we see many things, so like houses, for example, we think that these are really strong, stable things. But in truth, their nature is that they're not sure, that they're unstable. There's nothing that is strong and stable in this world. Our lives are not stable. We don't know when it is that we're going to die. Just like this small girl, who was a Sotapanna, that met the Buddha. But just after that, she passed away. Her father was in grief, but through the kindness of the Buddha, he was able to reach this non-returner. So this then depends upon the Dhamma. We have to rely upon the Dhamma. And as the Buddha said, one who sees the Dhamma sees the Tathagata. So therefore we train our minds constantly, bringing the mind into a state of ease through whatever means we're skilled at. So we may use contemplation in order to bring the mind to peace. But there are some people who don't think very much. And for them, they can just stay with Buddha. And this is enough for the mind to enter into samadhi. And then they develop wisdom after that. So there are these two different ways that take us to knowing and seeing the Dhamma. But it's also possible that individuals on these different paths can argue with one another. Maybe someone says that, well, if you just contemplate, then there isn't much samadhi in the mind. But another person says, well, through contemplating, wisdom comes up. But it's just that these two ways are different ways. But both of them lead to Magga Samaki, the path coming together in harmony. They both are a part of Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. And so there's no need to argue with one another. We just practice and carry on practicing. And so, as we carry on practicing, we try to extend our practice further. We try to practice better than we had before. And do it with each and every day, without missing out. So carry on doing that. Because the reason that we were born is to develop our hearts. We weren't born to get deluded in this world. We weren't born to seek out things like pleasant tastes. We weren't born to eat and to find pleasure in sights and sounds and tastes and odors, tactile sensations, objects which appear in the mind. We weren't born to get deluded in these things. Or to be deluded in status, any titles or fame that we may gain. But if we have wisdom, then we see that if we have these things, if we have status or titles or wealth, that we use those to create benefit in this world. And this, in turn, is Bharami that we are creating. So if we have much wealth, then we can give a lot and help out a lot. We're able to create many good deeds that can help others. And this is us developing a kindness and compassion as well, helping those who are in need. And when we do this, then we're able to live together in this world well. We're able to share what we have with one another. When we do that, what that means is that although we're born into this world, we're not deluded in the world. And what that means is we're not deluded in the aramanas, in the objects of the mind. And really, that's all the world is. So we contemplate and practice as well. Bring up this joy to nourish the heart. This bojanga, this factor of awakening, of joy. It's also that of mindfulness and of wisdom as well. There are all of these 37 bodhipakkhya dhammas. And we know they come together. Really what that is just this path of practice. That there's no need to separate them out and to look through the scriptures and study the individual ones. We don't need to do that, but we just engage in this path of practice, have mindfulness knowing the mind, contemplating so that we can let go, so the mind doesn't cling. And we use this as a principle of practice. And as our practice grows, then we start thinking, well, what is there to attach to? We carry on contemplating until wisdom arises and we're able to get rid of the delusion. This knowledge comes up, wisdom comes up, we see the Dhamma. We can see all mental things, all material things, and this insight grows more and more refined, until we can see bodies as just being, these a gathering of protons and neutrons and electrons. And this becomes more subtle, then it's just like a flow of air or a flow of fire. And we see this more and more clearly, gaining more and more of an insight into its not self nature. And just like how when someone dies and their body gets cremated, and just what's left is ash, and then there's the smoke that comes up. And that's just what the body turns into. It's just dust and smoke. And so really there are no genuine things in this world. But the mind, it doesn't die. It gets born, it arises and ceases. It needs to get born anew, following the causes and conditions that we've put into place. And it goes between birth and death in the cycle of samsara. And we don't really know where it is we're going to go next. If we gain a good birth, then that's good. But if it's a bad birth, it can be a lot of suffering. So therefore we need to really set our hearts on this practice, to put our efforts, our energy into it. And now it's the eighth day of this retreat. And so may all of you have minds which are firmly set on this path of sila, samadhi, and panya. May you know the Dhamma, and may you all see the Dhamma.